Yesterday, I mentioned between Mincha Maariv that the shul, along with many other shuls across North America, this week is involved in the 100 Shuls Project, which is a project started by an organization in the States called Yesh Tikva, which is devoted to raising awareness of infertility issues within our community as Pesach is coming closer, which is a family-oriented holiday and is particularly painful. And Roy Spitz will be discussing it in the drasha on Shabbos. But I wanted to discuss a few halachic issues, at least when I'm here, through the week, that relate to this topic. So yesterday I discussed the question of whether you give the bris on the eighth day to a child which is born, who was conceived through IVF. From some questions afterwards, I realized we need to take a little bit of a step back. I take some of these things for granted. So, 1 in 6 couples suffers from some form of infertility, and thank God, Bizman Hazem, many of those cases of infertility can be solved with the help of modern medicine. There are many different techniques that we have. Among them are IUI, which is intrauterine insemination. Sometimes infertility is caused by the man. His sperm is not potent enough. Sometimes you can solve it by simply purifying his sperm and then inserting it into the woman's body, directly into the uterus, into uterine. Sometimes, either because the problem is more severe or the problem comes from the woman's side, you can use what's called IVF, in vitro fertilization, which you actually, with the sperm and the egg, you create the zygote outside of the body, and then it's inserted into the body. And one of the central halakhic questions that was raised after whether it was mutter and what halakhic problems there are, and we'll leave aside the cases for now where the husband is actually sterile and you have to use donor sperm, or the woman cannot produce eggs and need donor eggs. Simply a case where you can solve the problem with the husband and the wife's sperm and egg, do they fulfill the mitzvah of puruvu? And this was the question that faced Poskim. So, at first glance, it seems to come down to this strange sugya which I mentioned yesterday in Chagiga Tazayin, which discusses the possibility of what's called Nisabra Bambati, where a woman becomes pregnant from semen that was floating in a bath. There was no active intercourse, but she becomes pregnant from that. Whether that's actually possible, that's not the point. But the Poskim, the Rishonim, and the Acharim used this case as a model. And there's extensive discussion in the Poskim of whether one fulfills the mitzvah of Puruvu without the act of intercourse. Again, assuming that this is between the husband and the wife. So the Chelkos Mechokek is unsure. This is all in Siman Aleph and Evan Ezer, Chelkos Puruvu. The Chelkos Mechokek is unsure. The Beis Shmuel thinks that you are. Now, what is that based on? So there's a central question that's generally raised by the Poskim. What is the nature of the mitzvah of Puruvu? So Tosus in several places, and other Rishonim, Tosus in Chagiga Daf Beis, and in Gittin Daf Mem Aleph, and Chagiga Daf, and in Bava Basra Daf Yud Gimel, writes that the mitzvah of Puruvu is essentially a mitzvah b'maaseh, with the act. The act of intercourse is the mitzvah of Puruvu. Having the children is just a t'nai, is just a shiur, at which point you can stop trying to have children, but the act of the mitzvah is the actual act of intercourse. The Menchas Chinuch in the first mitzvah argues that that's not the case. It's what he calls a mitzvah betotza'ah, the mitzvah to have children, not the process. So many of the Achronim think that this question hangs on that central issue. If you think that the mitzvah of Puruvu, of procreation, is the act, so this lacks the act of intercourse, the normal act of procreation, in which case one would not fulfill the mitzvah using IUI, IVF, and the like. If you think the mitzvah is about the result, so then one would say that you do fulfill the mitzvah, and people think that is the safek of the Chelkos Mechokek. And then if you follow the Beis Shmuel, thinks you are Yotze, which people say shows that he thinks the mitzvah is b'tosa'ah, is result oriented. The Hagos and the Taz, as well as the Shilas Yayevitz and Chelek Beis, Chuvet Tzadivav, think that you do not fulfill the mitzvah, right? So you have those who think you definitely do, those who think you definitely don't, those who are unsure. And some poskim really take it this way. However, some of the modern poskim say that's not the case. And they formulate the mitzvah approach slightly differently. This is most clear in several tshuvos in the Har Tzvi, Ritzvi Pesach Frank, in Evan Ezer, but it also emerges from the tshuva of other poskim. And they think, look, Really, we formulated the chakira wrong, the fundamental question wrong. The question isn't, is the mitzvah the act of intercourse or the result of having children? It is what we call maaseh versus totzah, act versus result. But who says the act has to be intercourse? Maybe the question is the mitzvah simply having the children, or is it putting in the effort to have children? If you take that latter formulation, so then even if nis'abra be'ambati, the case where there was no intent to create a child, you would not fulfill the mitzvah, everyone would agree that you would, if you go through this painful process of IUI, of IVF, and the like, which can cost tens of thousands of dollars, and is extremely painful, often requires painful drugs, to produce extra eggs so that you can go through the process. You're putting in a tremendous amount of energy to have a child, so everyone would agree that you fulfill the mitzvah. And that's the position of the Har Tzvi, and that's the position of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe Chelek Beis, Tshuva Yud Ches, it's the Tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak, in Chelek Aleph, Tshuva Nun, the Tzitzil Yezer, in Chelek Des, Tshuva Nun Aleph, Perek Dalet. He raises this possibility, then he raises what I have rarely seen except in the Shuvah and Tzitzel Yezer, the possibility that maybe even according to the people who think, Nis'abra Be'ambati, you would fulfill the mitzvah, by IVF you would not. And he's mesupik about this, he raises this as a possibility. He says, look, in the case of Nis'abra Be'ambati, it may be passive, it may be they didn't intend to have a child, but there was no person, third person involved in the process. In this, right, obviously it's invasive, there's a doctor involved, so it doesn't actually go directly from the husband to the woman. The doctor is involved to make sure that it happens, and he suggests that maybe that would change it. The majority of poskim, though, I think, as mentioned before, go in the opposite direction and say that even if you think that Nis'abra Be'ambati would not fulfill the mitzvah, in this case, where you put in that effort, where you're really trying, there's a medical issue that needs to be overcome, that everyone would agree that you fulfill the mitzvah. And again, that's the position of Rav Moshe, that's the position of the Minchas Yitzchak, position of many poskim, and I've discussed this with Rabbi Willig, who thinks that is obviously the correct position. He's published it as well in Beis Yitzchak, on Yevamos, a few years ago, I think it was Lamed Dalet. And I think that is the consensus of most poskim. And again, as I mentioned, the shul is, right, this week, spending time focusing on these issues just to raise awareness. So I hope just discussing the basic issues, both the mitzias, the reality of it, and the halachic issues, will begin to raise awareness and sensitivity to this very painful issue that plagues our community as many others.